We're doing Kohelet, we're up to what's called the 6th chapter, the 10th Pasuk. And Shlomo HaMelech continues and says, Mashe haya, what was? Kevar nikra shimo. It's already been given a name. Vinoda asher hu adam. And it's been known that he is human. What's he talking about, right? Shlomo HaMelech says the following. When a person attained greatness, so already he attained that fame. Vinoda asher hu adam. And so long as he is alive and he is this wonderful, whatever he is, every person in their area. So that greatness that a person attained, so fine, he got it when he was alive. Vinoda asher hu adam. When do we know a man is human? When he's in the grave. So long as he's out of the grave, he gives the impression that he's super, he's beyond. You get the feeling like he rules. Think back. A year, 2 years ago, Ahmadinejad seemed like the most formidable opponent. Suddenly, in a matter of months, he's gone. Vinoda asher hu adam. And then, when a person is demoted, or when he ends up in the grave, suddenly everyone realizes, he's a mere mortal.
Look.
Bin Laden, I meant Ahmadinejad. They have elections in Iran. Right, but I meant, he's being demoted. In a month, they're having elections and he's not the president anymore. So, there comes a time when suddenly you look at him and you say, he's only a man. I remember Gaddafi with the whole story of Entebbe. I remember with Mubarak all the years. What a ruthless dictator. Boom! Vinoda asher hu adam. Velo yuchal ladinim shetakif mimenu. And as great as he seemed, greater than life, when he was alive, suddenly when the time comes when his bell chimes, so then he can't stand up to those that are stronger than him. Death is stronger than everyone. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had his day, right? So there comes a time, vinoda asher hu adam. It becomes known that he was but human, a mere mortal. Velo yuchal adin, and he couldn't stand up, he couldn't argue with im shetakif mimenu, with one who is stronger than him. It's one interpretation in the pasuk. There's another interpretation. Mashehaya kvar nikra shemo. Whatever happened in the world already was given its name. People know about it. Vinoda shehu adam, and it was made known as we are man on this planet. From the time of Adam till today, we know more or less what's been happening in history. Velo yuchal ladin, and even though you know the past, that doesn't allow you to fight with im shetakif mimenu, with he who is stronger than him. And according to the Targum's interpretation, there's someone above pulling the strings. And if you look back at history, you suddenly realize that there was only so much we could do to affect history. You can't fight the powers that be. A person standing in the Twin Towers at 9/11, he can say what he wants, but there's a force at play. And Shlomo HaMelech is stressing, when you look at the powers that move the world, recognize that it's God pulling the strings behind those powers. And God is stronger than we are. People think they're stronger. We don't say it, right? But we think it. The brothers think, we will ensure that Yosef won't be king. Really. They sent him down to Egypt and they ultimately caused him to go up to the throne. They thought they'd win. Sarah says, I'm not going to let her son inherit with my son. Okay, sent him out to the wilderness and he ends up killing her children, right? In all our history, there are certain plans that God has, and when people try to stand up and say, I'm not going to let it happen, God says, really? Okay. You'll see that your very action is what will bring it to occur. And you see this time and again. Pharaoh says, throw the babies into the Nile. And by throwing them into the Nile, Pharaoh ends up bringing up the leader to be the leader, because he decrees that Moshe's in the Nile, Moshe ends up in the palace, and Moshe grows up a leader. He grows up in Pharaoh's palace because of Pharaoh's decree. I won't let that leader be born. Huh? Really? So there are powers, and we can't overcome those powers. We have a job within this world, we have a job within the spectrum we're given, we have a job also to recognize, to know our place, to know that there's a realm within which we can affect. We can pray, but we can't fight. I mean, fighting the Almighty. We can't fight Him. Ki yesh devarim harbe marbim havel mayoter l'adam. Going with the last interpretation we discussed, because there are many things that people say. Ki yesh devarim harbe marbim havel. You speak a lot, all you do is you blow more hot air into the world, says Shlomo HaMelech. Mayoter la'adam. And what's going to come of it? So you said something. People sometimes ask me questions about politics, and I feel like, what's the conversation worth? Am I going to do something about it? Are you going to do something about it? So let's talk about something that's more real in our lives, something we can really impact. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you're going to talk about what the Almighty does, that's not going to affect it. You're not going to change it. So that's going with that interpretation. Going back to the first interpretation, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki yesh devarim harbe. In truth, when the person was alive, remember the first interpretation said when he was alive, he seemed greater than life. So Shlomo HaMelech says, right. Ki yesh devarim harbe. Man has the capacity to do many things. You can impact many things. Marbim havel. In the end, it's just more of the same, more of finite passing things. I'll tell you a scary story I heard when I was a kid. There was once a guy who was a big glutton. He was a huge slob. He'd spend his whole day eating and gaining and gaining and gaining weight. He'd sit down on two or three chairs at a time. And he was known in town that he's the town slob. So one day, someone went over to him and said, don't you think you should take care of yourself? Look at you. You're so big. You're so fat. You're what's your life worth? And the guy's answer was as follows. He said, my father was a scrawny little man. And when I was a child, the crusaders came in and put him on a stake and burnt him. And I saw it. And I saw how in a matter of 2 minutes, he was gone. And I vowed that I will ensure that when they burn me, it's going to take a long time. That's the story. So as a child, I heard this, and the person who told me the story was so impressed. He said to me, I heard a good friend of mine used to tell the story over and over again. And he said it like, this guy was such a tzaddik. Look at him. Every time he ate, it was for the sake that he would take time burning. And I never appreciated it. I always thought like, come on, your whole life is so you could burn longer at the stake. As a child, I never understood it. Says Shlomo HaMelech, ki yesh devarim harbe marbim havel. You know, there are certain things that you take more and more, but you're amassing a lot which will end up being worthless. That's what I thought about this guy, you know. He's amassing a lot. What's it going to be worth then? But the truth is, if you think about it in life, that's true about much of our investments. I'll give you a small example, and then we'll see it in the bigger picture. I had a friend, I still have a friend, who invested a lot in the stock market and kept making money. And he reached a point where he was worth a few million dollars. And then the market crashed in 2008, I guess. And he lost everything. And what struck me was how he had invested so much time in amassing all of this, and then it was all gone. So it was all there potentially, theoretically, on paper. But so when he'd open his trading platform, he'd see net equity, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, and then gone. So what about all the time he invested, all the effort, all the energy, all the thought, reading all those newspapers, all those months and years of work? Meaning, had he thought for a minute, hey, I'm only pulling out $30,000, $40,000 a year, because he kept thinking, I'll make more and then I'll be able to retire. So he pulled out a meager salary every year and he kept everything invested and invested. And then he has nothing. So for $30,000, $40,000, he could have spent most of his day learning. He didn't have to spend all that time reading up on the market and investing this way and that way. All that work went gone in one day or 2 days, however long it took the market to crash. Everything went up in smokes. There are some things that are so much, but in the end, what do they all amount to? All his work went down to nothing. And if we think about it, much of life ends up that way. Us chutznikim, us who come from chutzlarts, have this terrible habit of amassing junk. Part of the reason is because outside Israel, you have much more spacious houses. And there's this philosophy that says, maybe I'll need it one day. So you get a pair of shoes and you don't need the box. But you say to yourself, maybe I'll need it one day. So you don't throw out the box. You put the box away. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Maybe I'll need it one day. You get mishloach manos and you have cellophane wrappers. You don't have what to do with them. Maybe next year I'll want to use them. You know that you didn't use last year's this year's, but maybe I'll need it one day. You get a bunch of baskets and you say to yourself, maybe I'll need it one day. Your shoes go bad and you go and buy new shoes, but do you throw out your old shoes? No, maybe one day my shoes go bad and I'll need them. So you start amassing things. You get yourself a new suit. Do you donate your old suit? Ah, come on, I might need it one day. So you go to the closet of an American or someone from Chutz Lartz and you see a bunch of suits he doesn't wear, a bunch of shoes he doesn't wear, and the whole house is cluttered like this. That's why American houses are cluttered. Americans, they get a new mixer, they save the old one. They get a new set of dishes, they save the old one. Go to an Israeli's house. You won't see that. It's part of the mentality. You have a small house, so what you use is what stays in the house, and whatever doesn't get used goes out of the house. Not an American, and I don't know how Europeans are, but I get the feeling they're the same way.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore? Okay, it's a tough habit. It's a tough habit to break. Why do Americans have all this clutter? Yesh dvarim arbein. If a person would only think all these things, marbim havin. It ends up just being a pile. At the end of the day, it's nothing. Yes.
By that same logic, I mean, think about it. If you spend your whole life helping people, and you have like an amazing, beautiful family, and you invested blood, sweat, and tears in shalom bayit, in the end, you and your family are going to be gone. And even if you have, you know, children and grandchildren, 3 generations down the line, they're going to be like, who is that guy? You know, I mean, I have no idea who my great-great-grandfather was, like, not as, like, personal, you know, I might know his name, and that's about it. And, you know, he may have been the most wonderful man in the world helping people all around him. So, like, you know, the logic is, like, on the one hand, yeah, you know, we shouldn't live temporarily, like, you know, as, you know, a physical lifestyle, but by that same logic would be, like, why bother, you know, donating charity, why bother investing in a good family, because in the end, we're all
going to
die, you know?
I don't know. No. Let me tell you a story that happened this morning and devastated me. I was shaking for over an hour. I don't remember the last time in my life I was so excited and upset. I was on the phone and I see a man standing next to me in the hallway, leaning on the wall and stomping his foot on the floor. So I'm standing behind him, and it looks a little weird, and I see people looking at him weirdly, and he keeps walking, and he's shaking, and I don't know who the person is. And I see him, like, clasping himself and shaking, and I hear people whispering and moving quickly. So I tell the guy I'm on the phone with, 1 second, something doesn't sound right. I put down the phone, and I run to see the person, and I see his face is bright red and saliva is dripping down his mouth. and I see him gasping for air. And I couldn't understand, is he having an epileptic attack or is he choking? And people all around me are running away. And I look at the guy and I ask him, are you choking? Are you choking on something? And the guy is already clasping and he's on the floor. And I can't tell. I don't want to do the Heimlich maneuver if I don't know if he's having an epileptic attack. I don't know what I'm doing. Am I helping him? Am I hurting him? And he throws himself on the ground. Then I came to the conclusion that he's choking on something, or at least I have to try the Heimlich maneuver. And people are saying, call Atzala. And I offer him my cell phone. You call, let me deal with him. And the guy's blood is coming out of his mouth, and his saliva is coming out of his mouth. And I'm about to approach him to do the Heimlich maneuver, and he throws up and can chuck out what he was choking on. Okay? Story from this morning.
What was
it choking? I wasn't sure if he bit off his tongue, and it was his tongue that he was choking on that came out. It was very bloody. I couldn't tell. I wasn't sure. But at that point, he was okay, and I felt like he's going to deal with himself. He didn't want to talk to me. Like, he was very embarrassed. I couldn't tell if he threw up what he was choking on, or he bit off his tongue. I couldn't tell. But he gathered everything that fell, got up and walked away like everything was okay. I saw he was very embarrassed by the whole episode, so I walked back to the phone. But what really made me seethe was the fact that people walked away. A man is choking, or he's having something. So I understand you don't know what to do. Call Hatzalah, do something. But people walked. And I was so upset that when he got up and walked away, I'm telling you, I was shaking for over an hour. Just seething. Now, I sat down and I wrote a letter to my kids, telling them, you know, I'm not going to tell you as children what your job is in your service of Hashem. But I will tell you that there's one thing as a parent I expect of you. And that is that if you see someone in such a situation, you better not be one of those people that walks away.
There's a very famous video where the guy gets stabbed to death on a public bus. And when the guy gets out the knife and starts to stab the guy, everyone not runs. They walk off the bus. Like, it's New York. Like, nobody cares about these things. They put their hand in their pocket, look the other way, not run, walk off the bus as if it was just like a fire drill or something like that.
So, to my mind, when a person steps up and does something, you try to save the person's life. It wasn't nogeya, right? Before I could do the Heimlich maneuver, he threw up and he saved his own life, right? But you don't think that the man builds a family, continues with his life? All is the generations that keep coming, that's a huge accomplishment. When Chazal tell us the Mishnah, why did God create man singular? There's a Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin. Why was Adam created as one and one wife? To tell us the value of every one. So when a person does chesed, we have to look at every human being as a potential of the whole world. Adam was created as a single human being so that we would realize that the whole world came from one person. One person equals a world, right? That's the halacha. Every human being equals a whole world, and that concept is derived from the idea that the world began with one human being. So when we help someone, it doesn't have to be we save the person's life, but the assistance that we give someone, we've helped the whole world. You know, there was a child whose parents were very abusive. Both parents. They were both retarded. They had a certain level of retardation. And they were both very abusive to the child, and he was taken off to a home, okay? And that home was there to protect him. And then he had a teacher who decided to adopt him. And that teacher ensured that this child grew up stable and went to college and got married and accompanied the child for life. Now that child, that person, I mean, he's an adult now, gets married and builds a family based on the kindness that someone invested in him. So that's an extreme example. But you know what? All the future generations that come from him, the fact that they're normal, that they grow up in a normal house and they build normal houses, you've started a cycle of good in the world. Every time we do a good action, we're helping start cycles of good. And it's our job to start cycles of good. And when you start one, B'ezrat Hashem, they keep developing. You're a kind person to your children, you're a kind person to your neighbor, you're a kind person to other people. So that affects people. They become kind people. They become good people.
I mean, look, my philosophy has always been, make the world a better place. Make the world a better place. That's always what you need to do. Bigger or small.
But Chazal, take it a step further.
But, I'll give you an example of something that had to be on the plane. I spent the first half of, a four-hour plane ride helping a lady out with her remote because she couldn't do anything with her TV, right? I started how to work it, and I was figuring it out with her. And I spent some time with her helping her out and doing all these things. Towards the end of the ride, I got up for the first time to go to the restroom. And she made a whole big deal, embarrassed me in front of everybody, and said, "Oh, you want to get up now? That's perfect. Yeah, now's a great time. Go." And I got back, she's like, "Oh, this is unbelievable. You should have had an aisle seat." And that guy helped her this whole time. And the ultimate, you can think about, using the world and the guy logic, like small things like that, helping people out with their remotes and stuff like that.
Let's take that story, but look at it from a different vantage point, okay? Because of her reaction to you, how likely are you to want to help the next person with their remote?
Not very likely.
Ah, so you see, she did a small action, and it has a potential to have a very big impact, because now you're looking at the world and saying, "Gee, we're all going to die. Why should I do kindness?" So that same type of impact, which can continue impacting a long way down, we can start that cycle the other way. It's up to us. And you never know how far that cycle is going to go. We had a guy come in here from Ukraine for one day. Came to Machon Meir for one day. He was touring Israel. He walked in here for one day. Okay. I don't remember him. About 4 years ago, I went to visit someone at the Park Plaza Hotel. And someone stops me and shakes my hand vehemently. "And how are you?" And I don't know who the person is. So he says to me, "You don't remember me. But 3-4 years ago, I flew in from the Ukraine. I spent one day in class. And after that one day, I said to myself, wow, there's a Torah out there I got to learn. And ever since then, I go to Machon Meir website and I learn and I learn and I learn. And it's all thanks to one day I spent in Machon Meir." So look, you do one day, you treat a guy nicely, you're nice to him, his whole life has changed. And the stories like that keep going. So look, that woman treated you not nicely on the plane. And you have a choice now. Are you going to start a cycle where you're going to let that impact you and you're going to say, "Next time I'm not doing any favors to the guy sitting next to me on a plane"? Or you're going to say, "I'm not going to let a cycle begin"? But it goes in both ways. And Chazal teach us that Talmidei Chachamim en osim lehem nefashot. We don't have to make tombstones for Talmidei Chachamim, because their actions are their tombstones. A person is supposed to do enough that he's left enough of an impact in the world that things just keep going after he died, where he's done enough that things just continue. He started so many cycles going. There's a story about a small community in Europe that couldn't get a rabbi. So they come in and said, "What are we going to do? How are we ever going to get a rabbi? We don't know anything. No one's going to teach us anything. No one wants to come here. We can't offer too much of a salary. And we're nowhere out of a nowhere." So they decided the following plan. They invested a little bit of money, and they took a plot of land, and they put up a bunch of tombstones. And they wrote on one, Rashi, Rambam, Ramban. And they set up this whole graveyard. And the next young rabbi that they could get to come out and see the community, so he's there for Shabbos. And then the elders come with their long white beards, and they say, "We want to show you what a prestigious community you're coming to." And they take him to the graveyard and they show him, "You see, Rashi was in our community, he's buried here. And the Rambam is in our community and he's buried here. And the Ramban was in our community and he's buried here. And as such a prestigious community, we're so impressed with you, we're willing to sign a 10-year contract with you." So the young rabbi feels very good about himself. And comes Matzei Shabbos, he signs the dotted line, and after a few days, it suddenly dawns on him, he says, "Wait a second, Rashi was out in France, the Rambam's buried in Israel, the Ramban is in Spain, wait!" He comes back to the elders and he says, wait, I don't understand. It doesn't fit. Granada. Wait. So they said to him, you don't understand. Let us explain this to you. Rashi, out in France, there's so many yeshivas. They learn him. Every day he's talking. Go to a Beis Medrash. Rashi says, everyone's talking Rashi. He's alive and well. Rambam, go to Israel. Everyone's learning Rambam. He's alive and well. The Rambam says that they're alive and kicking. Go to Spain. All the yeshivas are talking Ramban. Come to our town. No one says Rashi. No one says Rambam. No one says Ramban. Here they're dead. Okay, here they're buried. So this is the town. Yes, they are buried here. And that's why we need you here.
Wow.
So at any rate, coming back. That's what the Braisa says. Talmidei chachamim enosim lem nefashot. You don't have to make tombstones for them. Rashi's still talking. Rambam's still talking. Ramban is still talking. Things have to... That's the life a person should lead. Shlomo HaMelech says, when a person invests in the mundane, so then ki yesh tvarim marbe, when a person amasses a lot, marbim havel. And then it just means there'll be a bigger junkyard when he passes away. Mayoteir la'adam... And if so, then what has man accomplished for all the intellect that God grants him? God gives us greater potential. We have greater intellect. But mayoter la'adam, how has man used that intellect to get ahead in the world? Mayoter, what's the advantage? Ki mi yodea matov la'adam b'chayim. Shlomo HaMelech says there are so few who have really figured out what's good for man to do in life. Mispar yemei chayei hevlo v'yasim katzel. Each of us was given a certain amount of time. God decides when a person's born what his lifespan's supposed to be. And how many people have really thought about life? What's life worth? People think about what they'd like. But how many people think about what's their purpose in life? And what they should accomplish in this life. And if you think about it, then would we really click on that article? Would we really click on that YouTube screen? Would we really spend our time at night when we should be sleeping and productive that night and the next morning? Doing all the shtuyot we do. How many times would we be sitting with our iPhone really going through all those emails that are not so important? If we really thought about what are we supposed to do in this world? I remember a guy asked me here a very funny question 2-3 years ago. He said, is it prohibited in the Torah to watch TV? So I didn't understand the question. Where do you have time for that? There's so much good that has to happen in the world. There are so many orphans in a 5-minute walking radius. There are so many children who need a responsible adult in their life to teach them how to read. Just take the bus 5 minutes down to Kiryat Yovel. You have a whole community of kids who don't have a parent to teach them how to read. So a person needs a break. He's going to watch TV. I don't understand the question. Says Shlomo HaMelech, if a person, how many people stop to think, Matov la'adam b'chaim, what's really good for man in this world? Not what would he like, but what's really good for him. V'yaseim katzel. And a person will do them while he's still alive, and he won't rest, just as our shadow doesn't rest. Meaning, life is like a shadow. Shlomo is telling us a very interesting thought here. If you look at a shadow, it seems like it's standing still. But over a period, the shadow has moved. So in truth, every second the shadow is moving. But you don't see it moving. Only after time have you seen how much it's moved. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you don't have to accomplish quickly. One of the mistakes, especially in our generation, is that we'd like to see everything done today. I want to finish us today. You know the old story. The guy comes to yeshiva and he says, I want to finish us tonight and get my 8 hours of sleep too. It doesn't work that way. A person has to work like the shade. Just like the shade advances slowly, so do we have to advance slowly. But just like the shade doesn't rest, it's constantly producing, so do we have to be productive. אשר מי יגיד לאדם מה יהיה אחריו תחת השמש. Not only doesn't a person think about what he should be doing with his life, but מי יגיד לאדם, who tells a person מה יהיה אחריו, what's behind him, meaning you're all sitting here, did you notice that? You all have to turn around. So long as we were talking, you had no idea what was going on behind you. Says Shlomo HaMelech, the simplest things in life we don't know about. Ask a person, what's behind you? He doesn't know. We don't know what's happening around us. Beyond 180 degrees, we don't know what's going on after that 180 degrees. You have your main vision, you have your periphery vision, and you don't know anything else. You don't know what's behind you. So you want to tell me a person knows what's the point of life? No, most people don't. They don't even know what's behind them. Ki asher miyagid la'adam ma'iyach harav. You need someone to tell you what's happening behind you, tachat ha-shamesh, and that's under the sun. Now you want people to be smart enough to think about what's over the sun, to think about what the purpose of life is? Shlomo HaMelech says, sadly, that's not the way the world works. There are so few people, ki mi yodea, how many are there, people who really think about matov la'adam? And this brings us back to what we discussed, I don't know if you remember, that Rabbi Wein said over, that when he took his bar, so at one point, the bar exam is the exam in order to become certified as a lawyer. So at one point, they sat him down in a room, they gave him a piece of paper, and they said, you have 5 minutes to fill it out. So he sits and they close the door and he's sitting alone in the room. And at the top of the paper it says, what's your purpose in life? So he sits down and he writes and he writes and writes. And after 5 minutes he comes and hands it in. He has a full page or two and he says, I'm sorry, I didn't have enough time. So the guy says, wow. So Rabbi Wein asks him, what's the big deal? So he says, you know how many people bring it back blank? So people are working to get their bar exam. But then you ask him, and what's your purpose in life? So what's he going to say? To persecute truth? Come on, got to be real. What's your real purpose in life? Says Shlomo HaMelech, Tov Shem Mi Shem En Tov. You want to know what's good? Now Shlomo HaMelech is starting to give us some answers. Until now, Shlomo HaMelech was beating around the bush. Now he says, you know what? A good reputation is better than good oil. Good oil has a smell. But everyone knows the perfume you put on, the aftershave you put on. At some point, it loses its smell. It loses its potency. But a good name keeps getting stronger. A good perfume keeps getting weaker. You put it on, it fades after time. A good name keeps getting stronger. Tov Shem, a good name is much better than Shemen Tov, than good oil. V'yom ha-mavet, miyom hivaleto. The day of a person's passing is better than the day a person was born. Because at the day of his passing, he has completed his accomplishments. And from that day onward, as we discussed, the cycle of good keeps going. He can rest and it keeps going. I have a friend who owns apartments. He owns real estate. And he once told me, he said, real estate is the way to go. I wake up in the morning, I slept a good night's sleep, and I made 10,000 shekel. He says, I didn't do anything. I have an apartment, they're living in it. Tonight, 10,000 shekel. I brush my teeth, I sit down for coffee, I go to sleep at night, another 10,000 shekel. Every 12 hours, 10,000 shekel, and I don't have to do anything. Well, you know what? That type of idea, that's the idea of a good reputation. You do good, you affect people, they affect people in kind. That's why Yom HaMavet, when a person passes, he's finished his work, now he can rest. Now he could reap the dividends. But when a person is born, I haven't heard people walking around talking about that baby. No, he's a cute baby, right? Okay, doesn't go too far. But the question is, what will he do with that life? He's granted potential. When a person dies, he starts reaping the benefits of what he accomplished from that potential. Now, sometimes people hear this and they think, this is for big people. This is for the Chafetz Chaim. This is for Rashi. No. Every one of us, like the Chafetz Chaim writes in his book, every person can start cycles of good. We could all start a gemach. We could all do small things that impact other people in a big way. When we were expecting, I went out and bought in used bookstores. I bought some books on pregnancy for my wife. And then you read it. What are you going to do with it, right? So we started a gemach. We posted in a few places. People who want books on pregnancy, we have books to lend. And every few weeks, we lend another book. Doesn't cost us anything anymore. We got what we wanted out of the books. But here you have a cycle where you're doing something that doesn't cost you anything. It's easy. When I built our sukkah, so we didn't have any money, it was cheaper to buy the tools, the blade to cut the wood and pick up scrap wood, and the drill to build the sukkah than to buy the sukkah, right? For 300 shekel, I had all the tools I needed, and I built our sukkahs built out of scrap wood. So I saw I have all these tools. I started posting in different places. I have a tools gemach. So every month or two, someone comes to borrow our saw, our blade, and someone comes to borrow the drill, and even a hammer. Doesn't cost me anything. I did what I needed with those instruments. I don't have too much what to do with them anymore. I'm not building the sukkah. You know, once a year, I use it to build the sukkah. But it keeps going. You go away for Shabbos. You could lend out your apartment. I had a neighbor across the hall who told me he loves lending his apartment when he goes away for Shabbos. I asked him why. I thought he'd say, because this way I make sure to clean it up before I leave and I come back to clean apartment. No, that's not what he said. He said it's like when you enter the cab and he hits the meter. Doesn't matter what happens now, he's making money. He said to me, that's how I feel. I leave the house for Shabbos. I'm doing my thing, and every minute someone's enjoying my apartment, I get another mitzvah. The meter's running. I just keep getting mitzvahs. I didn't do anything. I lent my apartment, and the mitzvah meter keeps running. So we all have things in our lives which we can do kindness with. Baruch Hashem, we all have that. When I was in yeshiva, I've told this story many times. I had a jacket that guys got very excited about. So I made a gemach out of that jacket. People going out on dates would borrow that jacket. I always told them, make sure the guy who dated her last didn't wear the jacket to the date. They would all, you know, I was in yeshiva, I wasn't going anywhere, I wasn't even dating. But they would all wear that jacket. Didn't cost me anything. What's the big deal? But there are little things. It could be a jacket. There are little things where a person can accomplish and help other people. It's not, you don't have to be the Chafetz Chaim to do it. There are things within our lives where we can do it. I had a teacher who passed away without any children. The Nazis mutilated him. He didn't have any children. So when he passed away, I wanted to do something in his memory. That was in the days of floppy disks. You guys know what floppy disks are? Once upon a time, computers had this little diskette that you'd put in, and that's how you could save your work, right, if you wanted to go off with it. This was
4 mega?
Okay. I remember when it was 512 kilobits. going back, so guys used to do work on the yeshiva computer. This is only a decade and a half ago. It's not so long ago. Some of you guys are that old. Okay, at any rate, so not that long ago, I said I want to do something in his memory. So I bought a bunch of diskettes and I put them by the computer. And I said, this is in his memory. You could use it. Bring it back when you're done. So until they moved on from that computer for a few years, there was a pack of diskettes there that people could use to save their work and bring home to their computer and bring back the diskette. You do a little thing, how much does it cost? And in his memory, there were mitzvahs that were being done daily. I'm saying, if we only look for the angles, then there are plenty of angles. It's very easy. All around us, there are angles of kindness we can do. But a person has to realize you don't have to become the Chafetz Chaim to do it. Everyone can do it. Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov Shem Mishem in Tov. V'yom HaMavet Miyom Ivaledo. A good name is better than good oil. And a person's passing that day is better than the day he was born. Because look at that. He's accomplished. So that's the simple reading of these verses. There are alternate pshatim in these verses. But maybe I think this pshat will stick with this one.